way.
All right, everybody, we're back. This is Tom Rompel. I'm done for now with my rant with the Arizona Daily Star. As I said, we're going to go on to more important issues. Something that is very concerning, dealing with border security. Joining us is Bradley Schreiber from Washington, D.C. Bradley, are you there?
Good evening, Tom.
Good evening to you. Well, we're still nice and bright and sunny here and 102 degrees, okay?
Sounds good to me. We've had plenty of rain here in D.C. for the past few weeks.
Oh, well, send some to the desert. We could certainly use it. Bradley, before we get into this whole issue of border security, I wonder if you could share with me and my audience about Homeland Security Solutions a little bit, exactly what your company does.
Homeland Security Solutions provides government relations and consulting services to government, state and local government entities, and private sector companies trying to work with the Department of Homeland Security.
Great. And as I understand, you actually work for the Department of Homeland Security in an executive position. One of your assignments, as I understand, domestically was the U.S. border and the northern border and the maritime borders. What can you tell us right now, in terms of our southern border? As far as I can tell, our southern border is far from being secured. Which groups of people coming into our country illegally right now do you think pose the biggest threat to us?
I think there are about four different groups that I'm most concerned about with coming into the country. Number one is obviously terrorists. Number two is smugglers, and that covers a wide range of narcotic smuggling or human trafficking. And then there's also other types of contraband and gang members coming in from both Central and South America, and hostile government agents.
Tell us a little bit about the hostile government agents. You hear about, obviously, the terrorists, drug runners. Believe me, we're inundated here in the Tucson sector. And you hear about the gangs, MS-13, but hostile government agents, I got to tell you, I never thought about that before.
Well, it's something that, when you constantly are thinking about these things on a daily basis, you take a look at the all-threats environment that's there. I mean, you have a 2,000-mile border that, most of it is not secured. Several hundred miles in various sectors that you could run several tanks through if you wanted to without ever being detected. And,
if I'm a
foreign government agent, I want to come into this country, why should I bother, impersonating myself as a diplomat, which historically had happened. I could just, circumvent that and come through South or Central America and work my way up.
And that's happening frequently. Well, it must be happening frequently enough or you wouldn't be bringing it up. Am I correct to assume that?
What I would suggest is that you can't know who's coming into this country unless you have the proper security measures that are in place. And so we don't know who's coming in along those borders because we don't have anybody who's there most of the time. CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, more specifically Border Patrol, does the best job that they possibly can. Those are the most dedicated individuals that I've ever met. But their resources are extremely limited, and they could only cover so much ground.
Yes, and you're right. I know my son and I have a company here, Black Weapons Armory, and we deal a lot with military and law enforcement. And the commitment out of the Border Patrol, U.S. Customs, is very impressive what these guys go through and what they do. It has been reported to me, it's been confirmed through different sources of mine, that Border Patrol in the Tucson sector is apprehending Middle Easterners, Chinese, and Somalians on a regular basis. And then they're getting turned over to the FBI for processing. Can you tell us anything about this? Are you familiar with this?
Well, I think this sort of goes back to what we were just talking about. When you have an unsecure border and and the U.S. basically has a sign that's out that says to everyone who wants to do us harm, we're open for business, come on in. There are people who are going to attempt to get into this country. What we need to do once and for all is to secure those borders, lock them down, and make sure that we know exactly who's coming in and what's going out.
Well, you know, under the Bush administration, you know, I was sorely disappointed in Bush's response to our border security. It didn't even begin to do enough, as far as I'm concerned, to secure our borders. And now the Obama administration is cutting funding to our border security. Can you tell me what the hell is going on in Washington?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if I accept the premise of what you said. I think that the Bush
Fair
administration
enough.
And specifically the Republican Congress took a serious effort to try to address some of the issues that were happening on the southwest border. For example, legislation was passed to put up fencing. Now, there are people who are on both sides of the argument about whether fencing works or fencing doesn't work. But the fact is that there has to be some sort of detection and monitoring equipment that's in place, whether it's a virtual fence or a hard fence, in order to start to stop the flow both coming in and going out.
Well,
Congress also, if I can.
Go ahead.
Congress also added, you know, I think it was 10 or 20,000 additional or authorized additional Border Patrol agents. So there was that approach to do it. I think the frustration that you and your listeners are experiencing is that just didn't happen fast enough. The Obama administration, in fact, just recently announced that they're going to pick up the Bush administration's fencing program and start to deploy a virtual fence program, which I think is really needed. But when you take a look at, you know, sort of this overarching border security problem, we keep addressing it in a piecemeal approach. We don't ever take a look at it a holistic problem.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Why not? I mean, why not just? We need to do either virtual fence or the solid fence or what have something for sure. However, in the meantime, why not just deploy National Guard on the border and just secure it, so we can then get the virtual fence up or what we're going to have to and get these this equipment in place. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the U.S. should deploy the National Guard. I think they should have done it. They did do it. I think it should be deployed on a full-time basis until both CBP is fully operational or fully staffed to the point that we had authorized them to be at, and that the detection and monitoring equipment that we need to have along that huge fencing or that huge border is put up in place.
Yeah, but you know. Yes, I agree with what you're saying about the National Guard. I know Janet Napolitano, while governor of our state, put the National Guard on the border, and it made a big difference for Border Patrol down there. They helped with, equipment maintenance, yada, yada, so on and so forth. But now Napolitano and Obama say the National Guard is not needed. I keep coming back to my question, what the hell is going on in Washington? Where is the drive? Where do they not get that we're being overrun?
I don't think that it's a matter of not understanding that we're being overrun, but there are political consequences that we have to accept. The government of Mexico, President Calderon, Felipe Calderon, has done a fantastic job over the past several years in recognizing that this is a threat that the drug cartels and the drug violence is a direct threat to his national security. So, and he has taken very quick and immediate steps to try to address that problem. But he also has a political problem at home that to have troops on U.S. soil to look like that there are troops or to look like that there is that the government of Mexico cannot handle this problem themselves, it's a very sensitive issue for them.
Well, I guess what bothers me, and nothing to do with what you just said, I understand what you just said, is our government is always worried about the political implications rather than our citizen security. And that's the way it's been. Hopefully at some point it'll change on that. You talk about President Calderon, and as you do that, you brought my thoughts into the interior of Mexico. I know when you and I spoke last week, you talked with me and shared some things about for at the heart of the matter of the problem, as we go deeper into, you know, south of the border. So what are your thoughts about that? I know you had mentioned something about snipping off, you know, cutting off the supply at the source.
Well, what it really, when you're taking a look at what's happening, and as I sort of go back to that holistic approach idea that I had, right now, you know, we talk about putting fencing on the border. We talk about putting additional detection and monitoring equipment or additional flyovers by UAV craft. But that doesn't address, that's putting a Band-Aid or putting your finger in the dike or putting a Band-Aid on a gushing leg. That doesn't really address the core problem. What's causing all that violence? And there are two main factors, drugs and money. And the drugs are primarily coming for either being made in Mexico or and exported out, or they're flowing through Mexico as a transit through from Colombia, Venezuela, and other countries. So you have to take a look at this as, you know, the overarching drug war. If you stop the drugs, and if you stop the outbound money going into Mexico, you take away the money, the product means nothing.
Right.
But we have done a horrific job at tracking the money. We do a far better job at stopping the stuff coming in than we do with the money going out.
Very good. Bradley, I'm getting a sign we've got to take a break. Can you stay with us and we'll come right back to you after the break? Okay, everybody, we're back. We are here with Bradley Schreiber, former official with Homeland Security from Washington, D.C., where the conversation is about border security. The phone number here is 529-3508, 529-3508. If any of you have any questions for Mr. Schreiber, please feel free to call in. Bradley, you still with us?
I am.
You know, I was thinking the few minute break here. I'm sorry we had to cut you off there, but, you know, I'm new at this ball game, so I don't want to get upset with me. You know what I'm saying?
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking about your comments about what we're doing. Really, what you're talking about for me is you can't win the ball game by playing defense. And that's certainly, when you shared what you said about everything we're doing, to me that, you know, we're playing defense right now. Is there any offensive play, if you will, going on by our government coupled with the Mexican government or any other government for that matter that you can share with us?
Well, the U.S. does have a very active interdiction policy. We are constantly patrolling in the Eastern Pacific and the Caribbean, as well as using intelligence resources throughout Central and South America. I mean, to say that our efforts have not exponentially increased over the past several years would be an understatement, but it's still not nearly enough. We used to have, you know, the Department of Defense used to be a major player in our drug war, but because of obvious circumstances, they've been pulled to other parts of the world. So the other law enforcement segments have had to backfill that, but we don't have the resources to backfill completely.
Got it. On the line is joining us Will. Will, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Tom.
Please, go ahead.
I just had a quick question for Bradley here. I'm an avid hunter out here in Tucson, and I've been down on the border several times on hunting trips. And the fences that they're building there really is just old railroad tracks that are crossed together to prevent vehicles from going through the border. I mean, the border patrol out there are phenomenal, but I really don't ever see them out there. So what is this country doing to, once again, to secure these borders by bringing more people out to actually have a good eye on the situation?
Bradley, did you hear him?
Not quite. I'm sorry.
Will, you're cutting, you broke out a little bit. Will asked a question. He is sharing, he's a hunter here in southern Arizona. And what he's observed is down along the border, there's barricades, if you will, to prevent vehicles from crossing, but however, they're still crossing. What I heard you asking the question, Will, is one thing, he never sees any Border Patrol in these areas, and yet he does, runs into people coming across our border. Is there anything, I think what you're asking, Will, is there anything specifically targeted for these gaps, if you will? And I think you were mentioning those a little while ago.
Well, I'm sorry. we were talking about that a little while ago, exactly, that there, you know, with 2,000 miles of border and with a good portion of it not being monitored actively, we have to take a more proactive approach to how we address that. The virtual fencing program, which the Obama administration just announced, will help that. CBP, the Customs and Border Protection, started utilizing UAV aircraft, which has been successful. In El Paso, Texas, we have what they call the EPIC Center, which is the El Paso Intelligence Center that's jointly operated, I believe, by DOJ and the Department of Homeland Security. And that's an intelligence center which monitors, which assists in monitoring the border. So we're putting the pieces in place. But he's absolutely right. We don't have the personnel right now on the ground, the eyes and ears that we need, which is why, going back to what I said before, having the National Guard on the ground would be extraordinarily helpful.
Go ahead, Will. Any other questions?
Well, I was going to say I agree, and that's my big complaint is that it's dangerous out there right now, and the Border Patrol are great guys, but there's not enough of them out there. And UAVs and all that detection's great, but you got to have people to pick them up.
Very good, Bradley. Question: in terms of a National Guard on the border, how many do you think, in your opinion, would it take to actually at least temporarily secure our border so all the other infrastructure could be put in place and give a Border Patrol a chance to catch their breath?
You know, that would depend on what other operations are going on at the same time. I mean, if we're plussing up, adding boots on the ground for CBP, then we may need more National Guard in certain areas and not in others. So it's a circumstance-based question.
That's fair enough.
Full answer for that.
Do you know? Are you aware of any serious conversations going on by the Obama administration or Homeland Security where they actually are going to deploy troops down there?
I believe that there was money that was allocated if the Obama administration wanted to deploy troops, but I believe as of last week that the situation is not, they don't believe has arisen to the point that they need to do that yet.
Got it. It's been reported, my talking, and I've heard, number one, it's been reported in the news that the Mexican Army is positioned on our border from here, you know, all the way to Tucson sector, all the way to Texas. I have heard anywhere from 40,000 Mexican troops to 100,000 troops around the border. Do you know what that real number is?
All reports that I've seen are somewhere arranged in the 40,000 number. And they're not specifically deployed on the border. They're deployed, 5, 10, 15, 20 miles in to where the hot spots are. And I just lost the name of the cities, but there are several hot spots that are in Mexico that they're focusing on.
Got it. Now, I've also, in my understanding, that many of the Mexican Army are in bed with the Mexican cartels. Any truth to that? I mean, why am I asking the question? I can't believe for a moment that at least one troop is not in bed with the cartels, but do you know anything about that?
The reality is that there's widespread corruption in the Mexican police forces and in the military. And sometimes, and that corruption also translates into the U.S. as well. Regrettably, there have been some cases where U.S. attorneys and state and local state attorneys have prosecuted U.S. law enforcement for the same problems. But the U.S. still continues to work with the Mexican government because when you take a look at what's causing the corruption, most people would think, oh, they're corrupt because it's a matter of greed. Well, sometimes sometimes it's a result of duress, that the drug cartels will put their family members, the law enforcement or military's family members, in harm's way in order for them to, do what they want them to do.
Well, yes, you're right, and they are absolutely ruthless. They're every bit as ruthless as Al-Qaeda, as the terrorists that are threatening and wanting to kill us.
Actually, if I can jump in for a second,
please.
In some cases, I think that these DTOs operate in a much more vicious approach than even Al-Qaeda does. There was a case in which a gentleman was just arrested by the Mexican police a few weeks ago, who was charged with taking live individuals, putting them into barrels and pouring acid over them.
So,
the tactics that they use are unconscionable.
Yeah, and that right there, what we're talking about, the depth of atrocities. Now, folks, these are real atrocities. This is not some hazing party they're doing with people. That right there, because we know some of the crime that's occurred here just in southern Arizona has been horrific. What I guess is frustrating for me as a citizen is, again, I keep coming back to, you know, our government, and you don't have to comment on this, I'm just spouting right now, okay, that our government doesn't seem to be doing enough right now. I mean, it is a war zone down there. Should the citizens here, the U.S. citizens, be concerned with the Mexican army so close?
I think it's long since time that the Mexican military be deployed in the key areas that they are. The Mexican army is really the best way to address this problem. The local police forces are, in many cases, not integrated. They're easily corruptible, and the central government doesn't necessarily have operational control over them. The best way to really solidify this problem is to have the Mexican military where they are. One of the concerns, though, that you and your listeners should have is former Mexican military members. They're called Zetas, who
yes.
now work for cartels, and that there have been reports that they're coming over into U.S. onto U.S. soil and committing various crimes on U.S. citizens.
Yeah, and Zetas, I believe that is the troops that we train. Is that correct?
It's Mexican they're Mexican military trained.
I know the Obama administration, of course, I know there's a great commitment on his part to take all the guns away from Americans and U.S. citizens and use whatever he can as a means of justifying that. The report of 90% of firearms being used by the cartels coming from the U.S. is absolutely false. Can you talk about that at all? Do you know any data on that?
When a couple of years ago I had the opportunity to meet with Mexican Attorney General and the Mexican their version of the Homeland Security SSP, the secretary, and they threw out that 90% number during our conversation, and it was unrealistic to expect that 90% of the weapons, and we're talking about some high-grade weapons, in some cases 50-caliber weapons, shoulder-to-air missiles, that were coming from the U.S. Now, that is not to say that there aren't guns flowing from the U.S. to Mexico, but to say that 90% of the guns does not seem to be a realistic number.
Well, and from what I've reports, really ferreting out the truth about it, something like at the most 13%, and you know... Yeah, I thought about all that when I heard about that. And you look at the economics. My son's Black Weapons Army is an example. AK-47s, which are very popular with the cartel and everything. You look at the economics. Now, the cartel, they're not dummies. They are certainly evil individuals, that's for sure. However, why would you come all the way into the United States, come into a gun shop where you're going to buy an AK-47, and they've got to run a background check, which you're not going to pass, and pay, as an example, $800 and some odd for an AK-47 that's semi-automatic, when you can pay a couple hundred bucks or so in Mexico and get a fully automatic one. You see what I'm saying? It just doesn't make any sense.
I think what ATF is now focusing on, though, is, and I can't speak to this, is the gun shows that occur on or near the border, as well as the countless illegal weapons that are in operation. I mean, again, this sort of goes back to the drug trade. You know, inside the United States, you have Mexican and other international gangs and domestic gangs who are acting as the suppliers. And now, this is how does the money flow back? Does it flow back purely in cash? Does it flow back in other types of goods or services? you know, we don't really have a great sense of that. We do interceptions. There's electronic wire transfers and things of that sort. But there's just too much money and goods that are flowing back into Mexico that we don't track. And the Mexicans don't do a good enough job tracking it either.
What's
coming into their country.
Yeah, they don't track it, I'm sure. How are they getting the money back into Mexico? Are they actually sneaking back in, heading south, while their brothers are heading north? Or how are they doing that?
Well, as I said earlier in your show, the U.S. government does not have a real good sense. We believe that there's somewhere around $8 to $12 billion. I think that may be a lowball estimate, but flowing back into Mexico. There was a report done by the Office of Counter-Narcotics Enforcement at DHS about a year ago that came up with those figures. But, you know, again, without knowing exactly what's going down and having hands-on and eyes-on tracking, there's no way to really know that.
Yeah, they're not reporting that, are they? Okay, I understand.
No, the IRS is not getting
it. They're not getting a report. Real quickly, I know you're busy. It's late back there. What do you, in your opinion, do you think will happen to our country if the influx of the illegal entrants continues to go unabated?
From a border security perspective, we need to get a handle on making sure that we know who's coming in and who's leaving this country. We cannot afford to have this sign out saying anybody who wants to come in can come in. You know, we have situations down where Islamic militants are operating in South America. The drug trade is not just flowing from, you know, South America to North America. It's increasing between South America and Africa. And if I'm a Middle East terrorist and I want to get into the U.S., I just go through Africa, pop on one of the planes coming westbound, and, you know, I've got a foothold in the Western Hemisphere, and I'm going to be working my way back up.
Yep, that is the way it is right now. Bradley, thank you very much for taking the time out of your evening. I know you're at home and everything with your wife and your children and everything, and taking time to share with all of us here in Tucson. And love to, if you're available at some point in the future, have you back on the show. You've been a great guest, and really appreciate you sharing all your expertise in this area, and also thank you for what you've done working for Homeland Security and serving our country.
Thank you very much, Tom. My pleasure.
All right, Bradley, be well. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a little bit.